Who was David? He was a mighty warrior. He killed a lot of people. You see, this was David's primary distinction. He was a man after God's heart and the sweet psalmist, yes. But how Israel got to know David was that he killed a lot of people. Particularly, he killed big people. This is not the kind of guy you want to mess with. This guy kills big people with rocks. And how did he get the chance to kill the big guy with the rock? Remember what he said to Saul? Well, hey, the Lord delivered a lion and a bear out of my hands, and I just went over and ripped them to shreds, and so now I'll go take the big lunk on. Okay? This guy is psycho!
Interface. Not the same questions, not the same answers.
Hello, I'm Brad Johnson, and welcome to Interface, a weekly examination of Christian perspectives on theology, philosophy, ethics, and culture with Adam Ayers, the pastor of Disciples Church in Costa Mesa, California, and the founder of the Stoa Foundation. Our usual format on Interface is a dialogue. Today, we're going to do something a little different and visit Adam Ayers in his home environment at Disciples Church, discussing some of the things that we normally dialogue about on the program. We call ourselves a program that examines Christian perspectives on ethics, culture, theology. We find this expressed through relationships. It brings in questions of ethics and philosophy and the culture that we live in. And Adam brings these things together in the sermon we're going to hear today, which is part of a larger series. If you're interested in what you hear, then tapes of these sermons are available. So now we join Adam Ayers at Disciples Church, speaking on relationships.
Yeah, I was about 5, and I was coming down with the flu. And my mom really did not heed to me that I did not want a McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sandwich. And I held that warm sandwich twice. Yes. Once when I ate it, and then once shortly afterward. I held it in my hand. It had changed forms, you see, slightly. But it was still warm. And you don't need another one of those, huh? Okay, good. And to this day, if I smell tartar sauce, it is one of those things that I just cannot deal with. It's like I'm 5 years old again. You know, it is an aversive response. Okay? It is a reaction that feels like I am right back there. Like I am, you know, it's some uncontrollable seemingly. It's an instinctive response. I think about allergies. You guys say that you are allergic to stuff. What is anybody here know what an allergic reaction is? What is it? What is it?
It's your body's immune system reacting to something that it really shouldn't be reacting to. It's treating it like it's a toxin or something that's attacking it and responding accordingly when it's really something that's harmless.
Exactly. An allergy is when your body misidentifies a substance, an allergen, as some sort of antagonist, and then responds with full force as though this thing were, say, a microbe, you know? So maybe it's cats, you know? Anybody here allergic to cats? Yeah, me too. Cat walks in the room, I'm sneezing immediately. Your body says, oh, that's an enemy. Respond quickly. Why does your body respond so quickly to that? It's trying to defend itself. It's trying to do something to protect itself. I'm making friends with the kids at the paintball range. They happen to always be playing paintball right when I'm working on my sermons, so they get incorporated into the sermons. And yesterday I was down hanging out with the kids. They want me to buy a paintball and play with them. They're like 11. It's fun. The guys go, where should I hide? Where should I hide? I go, anywhere. Just run, you know? He's like, okay. You know? It's really fun. But I'm standing there talking to this one kid. He was already out. He was dead, you know. And the others are playing. And we're talking a little bit, and all of a sudden we hear this, poof, and this thing comes whistling overhead, and the kid like jumps into this crouch position. I'm going, what's wrong? He's like, oh, I'm scared, man. I'm scared. I'm like, you're already dead. Don't be scared. You know, it's no problem here. I was thinking about flinching. What does flinching do? What is flinching for? It's what? It's to escape contact, right? And it's amazing how quickly that can happen. You ever been hiking? Maybe hiking here? We're hiking in the Grand Canyon, walking through some bushes, and everything was overhanging. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking about something. As I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, I go, I'm like, kind of like when you're just ready to fall asleep, you know, you jump right. There's a name for that. There is a name for that. I don't remember what there is actually a name for the jerking that you do right before you go to sleep. You know, so I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, I jerk back. I'm thinking, why am I jerking back? And I look, and here is this stick, like this far from my eye. And I'm thinking, cool, radar. You know? And it was pointed straight. I didn't see the thing. At least I didn't think that I saw the thing. You know, I thought I was just trucking along thinking about something else. But all the time that I'm thinking, I'm just trucking down the pathway, there's like the little man in the back. The guy's going, is there a threat? Is there a threat? Threat? You know? Jerk! Ah! You know, like stop that! He's like, I love when I can do that, you know? And so quick. Why are reflex arcs so quick? Anybody know? Because they're designed to keep you alive, yes? Anything else?
They're hardwired. You don't even have to think about
them. Yes, you do not have to think about them. In fact, the nerve impulse does not go all the way to your brain. It goes from the stimulus to your spine and back. Yeah, goes just there. It's a reflex arc. Thank you. Yeah, it's like, ow, it's a reflex. I've tried to stop, but I can't. Yeah, kind of like all the voices in my head, but anyway. Hi, friends, you know, but anyway, okay, yeah. Yeah, it goes right from the stimulus to the spine, you know, it just has to contact central nervous system. Can we jerk? Yes, we can jerk now, okay? You know, and it just happens. Because it has to be that quick. Can't take time to think about it, to process it, to go, my, I think there's a stick coming, ow. Not gonna work, you know? It's like, too late, bye. That's the same thing with associated nausea. See? It's like, that was bad for you once. The nerves kind of put two and two together. They go, let's see, you had that once. You were violently ill. You survived, which is a good thing, so we're just not going to go over there again. How's that, you know? So, and that's rule immediately. Or, you know? Good, yes. That can be good. That can also be kind of dangerous. If you have a Bible, please turn to 1 Samuel. Chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Page 388. King James, Cambridge, Wide Margin Edition. And Samuel died, verse 1. And all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now, we've seen this story a couple of times before, probably about a year ago, I guess. And we looked at it, but I want us to look at it from this perspective today. So we're going to revisit this story. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep, all right, and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, which means dum-dum, basically. And the name of his wife, Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace to thine house, and peace unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us were not hurt. We hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. So basically David sends Guido and Vito, the collection boys, over to this guy.
says, you know, you've been protected for like the last year, and we was thinking maybe you could make a contribution to our charity, like the preservation of Italians, okay? Okay, good.
Says, ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let thy young men find favor in thy eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And David's young men came. They spoke to Nabal according to all the words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered, now remember, what's his name? Dumdum. And Dumdum answered David's servants and said, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I've killed for my shearers and give it unto the men whom I know not whence they be? Okay. When Guido and Vito, the collection boys, come to you and say, you know, you've had a really safe year. We're wondering if you could contribute to a policeman's ball charity, you know? Don't say to them, get out of my face. Whoa, who are you? Come on. Who's Don Corleone? Okay, bad. There's lots of guys running rackets these days. Out of my shop. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, gird ye every man on his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. Got to protect the stuff, you know. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. By the way, that's not a new idiom. He railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by day and night, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master, against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man can't speak to him. How would you like that to be your legacy in Scripture, you know? This is my legacy in Scripture. I'm such a man of Belial, son of Belial that a man can't speak to you. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep already dressed, chinth. No, wrong kind of dress. And 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before you. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. As it was so, as she rode on the ass, she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertaineth him by the morning light any that pisseth against a wall. That's an idiom for male children, or males generally. It's Bible, you know. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell down before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my lord shall be bound into the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my lord, then remember thine handmaid. David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed As the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unenabled by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But when it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. Interesting, huh? Think about David. What was David's distinction? Why was there so much controversy about David? Who was David? Pentecostals here? Who is he? Man after God's own heart. And how did everybody learn the name of David? He was a mighty warrior. He killed a lot of people. You see, this was David's primary distinction. He was a man after God's heart and the sweet psalmist, yes. But how Israel got to know David was that he killed a lot of people. Particularly, he killed big people. Big people, and how did he kill them? With rocks, okay? This is not the kind of guy you want to mess with. This guy kills big people with rocks, okay? That's a dangerous person. This is somebody who, like, and how did he get the chance to kill the big guy with the rock? Nobody else would, and how did he get the chance to walk up there? Remember what he said to Saul? Well, hey, the Lord delivered a lion and a bear out of my hands, and I just went over and ripped them to shreds, and so now I'll go take the big lunk on. Okay? This guy is psycho! All right? He's whack. Yeah. Oh, there's a lion. There's a lion eating a sheep. I'm going, yeah, they taste good, don't they? I'll have the next one. You know? No, not David. He's like, give me that sheep, man. You know? Okay? And what's worse, he's a pretty boy, it says. He's like this pretty, the kind of people you want to spit on their shoes, but you don't dare because they're just so wonderful. He's a musician. He's good looking. He's anointed to be king, and he's a psycho all at the same time, right? Okay? Bears, lions, big guys, rocks. Yeah, sure, I'll just take a rock and some leather and I'll, you know. What's his dowry? What was his dowry? Yes. Actually, it was 200. 200. Saul says, you give me a whole bunch of Philistines, you know, and that's the dowry. He goes, cool. 200. Psycho, can you imagine? That's weird. Because Saul was expecting them to kill him, which is, you know, expectable. Yeah. Someone's coming after you, kill him. You know, it's like, get away from me, you know? Right? Okay. Kills them, 200 of them. Okay. This guy is wacky. And then he goes out in the wilderness. He's running from Saul, who can't catch him, who's the king, who wants to kill him, because everybody goes, man, that David guy, he's one bad dude. They go, Saul is slaying his thousands, yeah. David, his 10,000s, yeah. You know? Saul goes, ugh. Saul's chasing him. The king can't get him. And he's out there running. It says everybody who owed money or was pretty much a criminal being chased by the law went out to David in the wilderness. So David and his 600 merry men, you know, his 600 merry, you know, gang members here are running mafia rackets out in the wilderness. They are running protection rackets. That's what they're doing. They are a marauding band who says, yeah, we'll keep all the other robbers away, and then you pay us off at harvest time, you know? And this guy, Nabal, thinks, I'll just blow him off, right? Wrong idea. David, all of his life, is a fighter. What is his first instinct? Why did he go out to fight Goliath, the giant? Because the giant insulted our God. sticks and stones may break my bones, you know? But don't you call names. And so he takes sticks and stones and he breaks his bones, you know? Like fee, fi, fo, fum and all that, right? Okay. This guy is a man of honor. This guy is a violent, intemperate man. He's volatile. He's explosive. You rub him the wrong way, you end up with a sharp metal object someplace in your body, you know? Not a good thing. So, of course, when Nabal, who sits like a king, confident, proud, and stupid in his hacienda, you know, I'm the local guy, I'm rich, my money will protect me from anything, I'm rich, I got a beautiful, wise wife, even though I'm dumb, you know, and he's puffed up, he's proud, he's wealthy, he's in secular power, you know? So when he hears this, he's thinking, you can't touch me. And so he sends off this smart mouth message back to David, which is Nabal's first response is, you know, you don't get rich by being generous. That's his thinking. You don't get rich by being generous. Ah, I'm wealthy. I've been selfish all my life. I've not given anything away. This will work for me now. Not realizing that it's a loaded gun to his head. He sends word back to David. David's first response is what? Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Kill him. Not him. Not just him. Everybody. Kill them all. Kill. Kill. You know? My dowry was 200 Philistine foreskins. What's this? You know? It's like, we're going to, you know, okay, load up the van. Get the guns. We're going riding. They're going to take out the whole block. We'll teach these guys a lesson, right? This is a natural reaction for each one. Instinctive reaction. This is how each one of them has always solved problems. Nabal has always accrued wealth and not given it away. Apparently disdainful and proud. Named Dum Dum. Everybody knows he is an irascible SOB, which means son of Belial. He's an irascible SOB that has a reputation of being so much an SOB that somebody can't talk to him. But he's buffaloed his way through life habitually. And he's won. It's always worked for him. David, it's always worked for him to stick a sword at his side, get his guys together, and go, you know, rumble with the homies. Now, Abigail is incredible. It's a bummer that she'd be like, what, 3,300 years old right now, you know, but... Yeah, but she's an incredible woman, you know? You're pretty, but you're old. You died in the Iron Age, man. You know, but okay. She does something... She does something unnatural. Is she afraid? Yes, it's obvious. She's worried. She's, you know... She's going out to face somebody who kills big people with rocks. The psycho. She's going to go out. I mean, think about it. You remember, you ever heard or seen that picture of the Tiananmen Square where there is that huge battle tank, the Chinese battle tank, and there's one guy standing there? You're going, that is an unnatural action. That is not the normal thing. When tanks come your way, clankety, 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 clank, you don't walk out in front of them. Okay? Unnatural reaction. Instinctive reaction, hide, pour gasoline on it, run, do something, scream, panic, whatever. And this one man has the chutzpah and the moxie, the belief, the faith in what he is doing, to stand right in front of it, in goodwill, and talk to the guys. You know? It's amazing. Amazing. That's Abigail.
You've been listening to Adam Ayer speaking at Disciples Church on relationships. You'll be able to hear part two of this message next week, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. We'd like to thank Media City Sound for helping to make Interface possible, the amazing Chris Holowaty for being our engineer, and we'd like to thank you for listening.